Welcome to University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick. The incidence of breast cancer in Latinas and Hispanic women is lower than in non-Hispanic whites, and yet Latinas are 20% more likely to die of breast cancer than non-Hispanic white women diagnosed at a similar age and stage. Also, their screening rates are lower, and they're more likely to be diagnosed later. Comadre a Comadre began at the University of New Mexico in 2005 with the input and participation of six Hispanic and Latina breast cancer survivors and their families. It uses a one-on-one peer model that's designed to improve breast cancer outcomes for these women. Today on University Showcase, I'm joined by Elba Saavedra. She's program director with Comadre a Comadre, and Kathy Landovazo. She's a survivor, and now she's a peer educator and patient navigator with Comadre. Elba, thank you for joining us. How did the idea for Comadre begin? What was the need you were trying to address?
I had met a woman, in fact, Camila Pargas Harrison, who was just amazing. And she was a survivor, 48 years old when she died. And she really began to raise the question to some of us of breast cancer and why is it that Hispanic Latinos don't talk about cancer. She was actually became an activist in the community, educating women on her own and through First Choice Clinic. And she started to really bring out questions to me about the importance of that. When Camila passed away, it brought a lot of us, those that knew her, to really do something in her honor. We started to get together and talk about, tell me what this experience is like for you. What would we need? And that's where the main tenets, the main components of our program still today was designed, even the name Comadre. What do we call such a program, such an effort? Well, we don't want to call it cancer because we know what our community feels about that already. So the idea of Comadre was just a beautiful word that came organically from the group. Comadre is a beautiful word for, you know, basically friend, but it's really representative of women taking care of other women. The women in this group touched upon the need for emotional support. They said, you know, when we were diagnosed, it was a really lonely experience. We needed to hear from women like us. The women also talked about how they didn't even know where to go get a prosthesis or where to get a wig. And so we talked about, well, we need something that's going to give women resources. And then the other thing is, how do we meet women where they are at, when they're at the clinic appointments? So the navigation piece came in.
Were these challenges more pronounced for Hispanic or Latina women in terms of they couldn't find the resources? Is it because it was a language barrier or there was a cultural barrier or there was fear or was all that?
For some of us, some Hispanic Latino, it is a little difficult to go outside of that, you know, family to reach out for services and to sometimes maybe the issue of trust, maybe the fact that we don't know who's on that other end of that phone call or who's going to ask us, you know, or what type of questions are they going to ask. So that becomes a little bit more, that process may become a little bit difficult. You know, how do we get women, especially in our case with Hispanic Latina women, to know what resources, that wonderful services are available to them?
Kathy Landovazo, tell us about your diagnosis when you found out you had cancer.
When I went to the doctor after I did my mammogram and biopsy, and she told me that I had invasive cancer, I was just kind of like in shock, you know. Spent my time crying because I knew I was going to die. Because I actually, in my family, I'm the first one who's had cancer, breast cancer, and the only one so far to this date, thank God. And so it was really shocking, really scary because I didn't know anything about other than you were going to die. Cancer meant you were going to die. It was a big C. And so, yeah, that was really scary.
How was the doctor informing you? So you got it, the news in person.
I got it in person, and she was very good. That was Dr. Royce. And in fact, when we went through all of this information that she gave me, she asked me, have you heard of the Comadres? And I told her no. She goes, would you like to meet one of them? And that way they can tell you about the program. And so that's how I learned about the Comadres, which was great because I was spending my whole time crying.
I will say, You both have met women who have not gotten that information in person?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. They get it a phone call?
They've gotten on a phone call. One lady mm-hmm. was saying she was driving on the freeway with her kids, mm-hmm. and they called her. She said she had to pull over because she was shaking and crying, and she didn't know because her kids were really afraid then, you know. But, yeah, so she was really hysterical about getting that over the phone.
Yeah. No woman should get, no person should get a diagnosis over the phone. I think it's really important for providers to take the time to make that appointment, to bring in that woman, and maybe even ask, you know, do you have someone that, you know, oh, someone coming with you? Sure, okay, great, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, did you?
Well, actually, I kind of knew I had cancer because when they did the mammogram, mm. and they said, well, when they called me to redo a mammogram, and they said, well, if you have anything on the x-ray, we're going to take you next door and do the ultrasound. Well, they did, but then there was two radiologists that were in there, and I could hear them talking.
Mm.
So I kind of knew. I mean, you know, it was just—
They're not officially supposed to tell you, but you heard them
right,
talking.
Right, you know, I could mm-hmm. hear them. And, I mean, they weren't close to me, but it was a little room, like, you know, like this, and they were, like, over there. And so I could hear them. So, I mean, it's still, that's, you know, I mean, you still kind of think, oh, no, they don't know what they're talking about, you know. Wait till the doctor tells me, you know. But so I kind of knew I had it.
What mm-hmm. happened when you reached out to Comadres?
They were really good. The first comadre that I got, her name was Nena
Cordova.
And so she just came in the office and she started talking to me about the program, about what they did, told me about the support groups.
How did that make you feel? Because I'm sure that was a terrifying diagnosis.
It really was, but I was glad that they were there because they all had cancer, so they knew what I was feeling, mm-hmm. you know. My family was great when I told them about my diagnosis, and they were very supportive, took me to all my appointments, got all my prescriptions for me, did everything for me, but it wasn't the same because they've never been through this. It's kind of a journey that you have to walk alone once they tell you. But then you have all these women behind you who really become your sisters mm-hmm. and family, even their husbands, you know, their brothers, and because they know what you're going through so they can be there. Your family learns after, but they still don't know what you're feeling.
So for the support for diagnosis, that Kathy is actually a wonderful facilitator, which is amazing because you could tell a little bit about how you felt the first time you went to the support group, right?
Yeah, you went through treatment and you became a support, an educator, a peer
right.
educator.
But
right.
when I was going through all the support groups, I was really angry. I was mad because I thought, why me, you know? My husband had been sick, and I just taken care of him. He passed, and I thought, gosh, I'm supposed to get a break here. And and it was these ladies who helped me. You know, well, if it wasn't you, who was it going to be? Yeah. Your daughter, your mom, your sister? Mm-hmm. Who would you choose? Yeah. So I was very angry, and there's a lot of women who are very angry. And they cry a lot, and I tell them, hey, you can.
If you're just joining us, this is University Showcase. I'm Megan Kamrick. I'm speaking with Elba Saavedra and Kathy Landavazo from the Comadre a Comadre program at the University of New Mexico. Is there a greater reluctance, do you think, in the Latino or Hispanic communities to talk about cancer?
Mm-hmm. Very definitely.
Why is that?
Because it's a big C. You're going to die. Mm-hmm.
That's all people know.
That's all you know. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's all you know is you're going to die.
What about previous encounters with the healthcare system? Does that factor in too?
Yes, and I think that's that brings up a wonderful point because, in fact, we in the Comadre program, as the program grew, realized that we were getting phone calls from providers, from women, word of mouth, of women who were not diagnosed but needed a mammogram. They wanted to know about, you know, I have no insurance, where can I get a mammogram? It really led us to see that the need was there for us to also be a resource for women who needed a mammogram, so that we now were looking at that front end of breast cancer care, of the screening, the diagnosis, the referring women to programs like the Breast and Cervical Cancer Program through the CDC and Department of Health here in New Mexico. That is wonderful, that connects women with a mammogram and a pap smear after the age of 30. And so we began to then fold into our program a new project that was a derivative of that called the Breast Health Platica Project. Up until now, we've had about 2,800 women attend these classes since we've enacted this project. We collaborate with faith-based, with public institutions, medical facilities, business partners, and the family room, the coordinators in the schools, to educate the parents, especially the women, about breast health classes. They're all free. Every woman gets a packet, a free packet of information in their own language, Spanish or English. So any woman can attend those classes. We do focus on Hispanic, Latina women, but our classes are offered to any woman. The program BCC, Breast and Cervical Cancer Program, we enroll and refer any woman that calls our Comadre program. It doesn't matter if they're Hispanic or not. We want to get that woman to the right source. But in those classes, I have to tell you, Megan, the women invariably, over and over again, touch upon what Kathy just said. There is a fear of the results, that they may get cancer. It's frightening. It sometimes immobilizes, paralyzes women to make that next move. And that's where a navigator, our program navigators, are all breast cancer survivors, and our peer educators who conduct the classes are all breast cancer survivors, so that they have a woman who is able to share their own experience and put a face on, this is what breast cancer looks like when it's detected earlier, or when you get treatment, and that fatalism begins to, you know, we start debunking that idea that, you know, we're going to be there regardless of what stage you are diagnosed, but also there really is, breast cancer is treatable if caught early. We oftentimes have women report to us that they have a difficult time navigating the healthcare system because of language, because of not being familiar with, you know, where or how to make appointments. You know, it's frightening. If women are not used to our healthcare system here in the United States, it could be very frightening as to where do they start, what's being told to them. So I think, again, having someone that's familiar, right? Kathy, would you say,
yes,
in your role as a navigator?
Since we've already been through that, we know what they're feeling, and questions that if they don't ask their provider, that we can ask for them.
What are plácticas?
So plácticas is a wonderful word for, basically, it's that informal, meant to be intimate, right? Mm-hmm. And so those conversations, we thought was so appropriate to put that into a breast health plática, which is one of the most wonderful parts of when we implement those classes, is that we allow in the curriculum for there to be that talk among the women and the peer educator to ask, you know, what is it about getting these exams you know, that you can tell us that are barriers? And the women will talk freely, wouldn't you say, Kathy?
Yes.
I mean, what are some of the things they say?
I mean, we talk about, well, whatever they want. Sometimes it's about your children. Sometimes it's about your husband. Sometimes it's about the doctors. Right. Just anything goes in the meetings, whichever they want to discuss.
Yeah, in the support group you're talking about now. Right.
And it goes into the pláticas, too.
Right. Because
we have whoever is doing the speaker, whoever is there, they really get into it because the women are there. And so they ask all these questions.
And do you think you've had an effect in terms of getting women to get more screenings?
The dialogue of breast cancer was not happening before. And now we are saying, let's talk about cancer. Let's talk about breast cancer. It is wonderful to hear when women tell us anecdotally, you know, I was able to get help from your program, and I'm so glad that my results were normal, but, you know, you helped me, and I just thank you so much. So those, we get that feedback. It's wonderful.
This is University Showcase. We'll be right back.